Welcome to the Huntington Disease edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the HD community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Our guest today is Ignacio Munoz San Juan, President and Founder of Factor H, a nonprofit organization that aims to alleviate extreme poverty and suffering among people with Huntington disease in Latin America. Munoz, a neuroscientist originally from Spain, earned his PhD at Johns Hopkins Medical School in Baltimore. Dr. Munoz is considered an expert on the development of treatments for Huntington. We're speaking to him from his home in Los Angeles. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let me ask you about your background with Huntington. How did you come to be an expert on the development of the treatments for the disease? And how did you start your organization, Factor H?
Well, I've been studying neuroscience and neurodegenerative diseases pretty much all my career. I happened to start working at a nonprofit organization / biotech focused on developing therapies for Huntington's disease in 2007. When I was leading the biology department that supported development of novel therapies for Huntington's disease, as well as biomarkers to enable clinical trials. So that's my scientific connection with Huntington's disease. Being of Spanish origin and speaking Spanish, I also travel through South America giving conferences and trying to establish a Latin American network of scientists and neurologists, specialists in Huntington's disease. And during the course of those meetings, I was able to hear from family members about some communities in Venezuela, in Colombia, in Peru, and in Brazil that had a very high density of patients, particularly in Venezuela. There are several regions that have the highest incidence of Huntington's disease in the world. And these communities were instrumental in the identification of the mutation that causes the disease back in the 80s and 90s.
So we're really talking about South America, not Latin America in general. This does not include Mexico or Central America or the Caribbean.
Yes and no. So we do have connections with patient organizations in Mexico, in Costa Rica. There are patients that we know in all of those places, but Factor H works due to resource constraints. We work in Colombia, Venezuela, and Peru for the time being, even though we do organize meetings with all of the associations in Latin America, and we do have projects ongoing that hopefully will benefit the entire Spanish and Portuguese-speaking world.
So this raises an obvious question. Why does Venezuela have the world's highest prevalence of this very rare disease?
I don't think anybody can give you an answer. I think what happened in the Caribbean coast of South America, particularly Colombia and Venezuela, in some ways in Brazil, is during the colonization period. People came to the Caribbean coast with different neurodegenerative indications from Europe. So in the case of Venezuela, at least two different people with Huntington's disease got to fishing villages in the late 1700s. And these are isolated fishing villages. The disease is extremely marginalized. And I think people have a lot of kids, a lot of young generations. And I think over time, the prevalence of the disease has increased tremendously to a point where they wouldn't mingle a lot with people outside of those communities. And I think this is why the prevalence is so high in those communities specifically. But to be honest, no one has done a rigorous epidemiological study to really understand other aspects of why the incidence is so high in those communities.
But this is incredible. So we're talking maybe about a founder's effect that can actually be traced to two individuals, to two people.
Yeah, there's been a couple of one published report on the sociogenetic data that suggests that at least two different founder effects in Venezuela. The same happened in Peru. Outside of Lima, to our south of Lima, there's the third largest, sort of, we call them clusters. And they also have two different founder events. One is of European origin. The other one is of Amerindian origin. In Colombia, where the second largest cluster in the world resides, people haven't done the genetic studies to know where they came from, but it is thought that they came from Spain as well.
Where in Colombia are you speaking about?
Yeah, so the region that we work with in Colombia is the what we call the Caribbean coast. It's very close to Zulia State, in where Maracaibo is the capital. So this is Atlántico State and three other states where we found a lot of families. The cluster that is best known is in a town called Juan de Acosta, which is about 30 minutes outside of Barranquilla. And that's the only population that has really been studied back in the 90s, 2000s.
And you mentioned that you're also working actively in Brazil.
No, we're not. But I visited Brazil at the beginning. Due to the language and due to purely logistical and financial reasons, I concentrated in Colombia and Venezuela. And about 5 years ago, we started supporting the Peruvian Association with the Peruvian cluster.
Are there any, as far as you know, are there any clusters in Argentina?
Not to that extent. I don't think it's been identified. I think there's people everywhere in South America, but these communities that are essentially founder effects that have the highest incidence tend to be very focalized in certain towns. And to my knowledge, none has been reported outside of those four countries.
I understand. Would you talk a bit about Factor H and how you started this organization?
When I heard the stories about how these families were living, particularly in Venezuela, because everybody knew their contribution to the identification of the mutation. So it was a surprise to me to hear of their essentially extreme social exclusion, lack of support, medical and otherwise. So I decided to visit. And I spent a couple of years in the summers on my holiday time going to see these communities. And once I went there, I really couldn't go home and not do something to help them. So initially, Factor H was just an individual project with another colleague of mine from Argentina. Her name is Claudia Perandone. She is a clinician working in Huntington's disease as well. And the two of us started Factor H, and it was, you know, trying to do whatever we could. You know, we'll do events and we'll raise some money through GoFundMe and buy clothes. And then slowly other people started joining this project, and we decided to register as a nonprofit. And now we have about 25 people working for the foundation in Colombia and Venezuela.
And the organization is headquartered in L.A.?
It's run out of my house.
Uh-huh. And it's all volunteer?
In the U.S., yes.
So on November 7th, you're planning a film screening of two documentaries that deal specifically with this unusual and little-known phenomenon.
So let me take a second just to explain. We recently competed and won an international award called the Amgen Prize. It just happened in New York at the end of September. We submitted a proposal to raise money for our caregiver support program. And the philosophy of Factor H has been that the disease is not only affecting the people who suffer the symptoms, but that the disease impacts the family unit, and therefore we want to improve the quality of life, we need to concentrate on the family. And therefore we have projects for the patients, the kids at risk, and the caregivers. And the caregivers is something that maybe it was less developed in our mind in terms of how to structure projects that would be holistic in nature, that would support them. And we needed some funds to launch the project in all its dimensions in Venezuela. So as part of this application for the Amgen Prize, we decided to do a documentary about informal caregivers in Barranquitas, because it becomes very difficult if you haven't visited these communities, the immense physical, emotional, and psychological burden that the caregivers experience. So we wanted to capture it on film, and two of the informal caregivers allowed us to essentially spend a day in their lives from the morning to the evening. And that's what the documentary is about. And the documentary is called The Light. And if you see it, you'll understand why it's called The Light. And it's filmed by one of our associate friends from Caracas, who is a wonderful journalist called Jindal Delgado. And he's been working with Factor H now for 7 years.
So what do you hope to accomplish on November 7th? Do you have a specific fundraising goal?
Yeah, well, we're not that ambitious. We hope to raise about $15,000 if we sell the tickets and people want to donate. Most importantly, I think, is to gather the local community together. And, you know, one of the things that I set out for myself and for Factor H was to make sure that the Huntington's community worldwide would know about the conditions of these communities in South America, particularly in Venezuela, because they contributed so much to our current understanding of the disease, and it made me feel that we should come together to help them. And a good way of doing that is through the arts, and visualizing with cinematography their experience is a way of bringing people to Venezuela who probably will never go.
Well, that brings me to my next rather obvious question, and that is that Venezuela at one time was the wealthiest country in Latin America on a per capita basis. Since the Chavez regime, standard of living has dropped dramatically. Venezuela faces very serious U.S. sanctions. How does that affect the work you do, specifically in getting money to the people who need it?
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about how we do that, but it is a challenge. You know, the challenge of the socioeconomic situation in the country, of course, disproportionately affects poor people, as it always does. And it also affects us in two very significant ways. The first one is that essentially all of the doctors that I used to know and be friends with, all of the specialists, left the country. So it's been a real challenge to have continuous medical support with professionals who stay long enough to really monitor the situation on the ground and help the patients. That's the first problem. The second problem is that there's a lot of migration from Huntington's families because they're living in conditions of extreme poverty. In many cases, they don't eat more than once a day. We've seen this in the last 2 or 3 years. A lot of people have left and they're going pretty much all over South America and North America. So now we're gonna have founder populations in a lot of different places.
Well, I understand that 7 million of Venezuela's 25 million people have immigrated.
That's right. And the state with the most percentage-wise of immigrants is Zulia State. About 25% of the population of the state has left in the last 7 or 8 years.
That's incredible. And also with the collapse of the oil-based economy.
Absolutely. It's a disaster. But anyway, that's part of the reason we're there. I think if things were working fine and the social and health infrastructure was working, we probably wouldn't need to be in Venezuela, but that's why we are. So whatever problems arise, we'll just find a way of addressing them.
And on top of the economic problems, I imagine these people are also shunned and maybe avoided by society.
Oh, totally. That's been the case. And this was a problem that particularly sort of bothered me when it came to teenagers and kids. And part of the reason we started the youth program, which was one of the first programs I started in 2013, was because I wanted those kids to grow up better prepared psychologically and socially to face the consequences of Huntington's disease. Whether it affects them directly or not, mm-hmm. they're going to see a parent, a sister, a brother, a cousin. And I didn't want any of these kids to grow up not knowing about the disease, not having a support network that would help them cope. And a lot of the youth programs are directed at psychological support, education, and to make sure that they realize of their self-worth and the potential that they have for their lives.
One of the unique qualities, of course, of Huntington is that if it runs in your family, you almost know for sure that you will get the disease and you will die of the disease.
50%. So not for sure. 50% is 50%.
Yes, but the people who could possibly be tested or screened in Venezuela probably don't have that opportunity.
No, right now there's no genetic testing available. Not because the test results could be generated because they're testing in Caracas. The person who used to test in Maracaibo left the country. So right now there's no local testing, but we could do testing through Spain or through other places in South America. The major issue is the lack of genetic counseling.
I understand.
People aren't prepared to work with the patients. And I think it's ethically questionable to give somebody a potential death sentence without preparing them psychologically. And therefore, this is one area where we have not triggered programs until we have a well-established genetic counseling strategy for Venezuela.
Are any of these Huntington patients that you work with, Are they getting any kind of medication to treat the symptoms of the disease?
Yeah, so we've been able to get, so we do medical support in different ways. So for the there's two clusters. One is 30 minutes outside of Maracaibo. The other one is about 4 hours away. The one in Maracaibo, that neighborhood, we have a neurologist on staff that sees patients every week. So all of those patients are being seen regularly by a neurologist and they get medication that we often have to buy or send. In Barranquitas, it's harder because it's a very isolated village and it's not possible to have a local neurologist every week. So what we do is we do visits every 3 months and then telemedicine and through our social workers. And we try to provide medications to as many patients as we can.
We're just about out of time. I want to thank you for speaking with Rare Disease Advisor on a subject that we have never addressed, namely that of the situation, the desperate situation of people with Huntington in South America. We have been speaking with Dr. Ignacio Munoz San Juan, president and founder of Factor H, which is a nonprofit group that helps alleviate extreme poverty among Huntington patients throughout South America. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.